Good morning. I thought to bring a stack of empty papers this morning to get you a bit worried about how long I was going to be. I'd like to thank Kath this morning for all the hymns she chose. They were exactly for the sermon. And also the elders have written a portion in the magazine this morning on the second page that fits in entirely, I think, with what I'll be talking about this morning. I'd like to talk a little bit about darkness and light this morning. Darkness of itself is very much an abstract thing. There's really no such thing as darkness. Now, saying that doesn't seem to make much sense, does it? We've all been in the dark, and we know that there is such a thing as darkness. But what I'm saying is that you can't make darkness. Darkness is the natural state of things when there is no light present. Once we bring light into a dark place, the darkness disappears. So if we were somewhere where there is light and we wanted to make it dark, all we have to do is take away the light. Or if the light is shining from outside, then we can shut out the light by closing the curtains. We can bring a torch into a dark place and make it light. But you can't bring darkness into a place that has light and make it dark. Because as we said, there is no such thing as darkness. Darkness is really an absence of light. Have you ever been in a place where there is no light at all? When I was working for the ENWS department, part of my job while they were building the Hope Valley Water Filtration Plant was to inspect the underground pipework and tunnels so that we knew how everything worked before the plant came online. We were down in one of the tunnels when suddenly the lights went out and it was pitch dark. You could put your hand in front of your face and you just couldn't see it at all. Everything was totally black. I'd never been in a situation before and it was very frightening. One of the first things that happen is that you get totally disoriented, especially if you try to move around. You very quickly lose your sense of direction. I do some volunteer work for the SBS, the RBS, that's the Royal Society for the Blind. And before you start, you have to go through a one-day course. One of the most important things they tell you is that under no circumstances should you leave a totally blind person alone in the open. If you have to leave them for any reason, you must place them somewhere where they can hold onto something solid. Holding onto something solid gives them a feeling of security. In the scriptures, we see that as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. He had never been able to see. He had never seen people. He had never seen the countryside. He'd never seen the sun or the moon. Even when he was out in the full sun, he would have felt the heat, but he had not been able to see it. He would have heard people talking. He would have smelt the flowers, but he had never seen them. The blind man that Jesus healed illustrates the natural condition of us all. We are born blind to the things of God. We are born with a bias towards sin. That blindness keeps us blind to what God expects of us. I'm sure all of you have either played or watched a game of bowls, and we know that the ball will deviate more and more from a straight line as it slows down. The harder you bowl, the further it'll go in a straight line, but eventually it will slow down and start to turn away. Most of us have been fortunate to have been born into families with good moral ethics and have lived moral lives. But at some time in our lives, like the bowl, we will deviate from the straight and narrow. No person is born into this world a Christian. Paul tells us in Romans 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus told the rich young ruler, he must be born again. We have heard people say that they've seen the light, Their eyes have been opened to their need of salvation, and they've accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord. They see things in a totally different light. Suddenly, the Bible takes on a whole new meaning. They begin to understand and take pleasure in reading God's word. Once they were blind, but now they can see. There opens up to them a whole world of beauty that the non-Christian cannot and doesn't see. The person who is not a Christian can't see God's love. He doesn't understand all God's precious promises and all the joy that salvation brings to a person who has accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Like the blind man who can only feel and hear, all the person who isn't a Christian can see is the effects of being a Christian. He can only see the way Christians live their lives and listen to the way they talk to others. He can smell the flowers, but he can't see the beauty of them. He can feel the heat, but he can't see the sun. At the Art Gallery of South Australia some years ago, there was a collection of paintings by the English artist Turner. There's a story of a lady who looked at one of Turner's landscape paintings, and she turned to the artist and said, "Mr. Turner, I can't see in nature what you put in your painting." The artist's quiet answer was, "Don't you wish you could, madam?" No Christians look at non-Christians look at Christian people and see their faith, their hope, and their joy of living, but they don't understand it. They say, "We can't see any joy in living as you do." The only proper answer to that is, "Don't you wish you could?" Someone once asked Pat and I, "You don't smoke, do you?" And we said, "No." And he said, "And you don't drink?" And we said, "No." And he said, "What do you do then?" People in the world find it hard to understand how Christians get any pleasure out of their life. These people generally know what we believe and how we live our lives, but they don't understand how living as we do brings pleasure into our lives. They don't believe in heaven and hell. Their general attitude is, "I don't do any harm to anyone, and God loves us all. The Bible says God is love, so we are all going to be okay. So why should I worry about being a Christian?" If I'm asked a question directly and have to give an answer, I usually answer by asking, "Do you see me as a happy person or a miserable one?" They usually agree that by and large, I'm happy enough. When we leave this world, if you are right and I'm wrong, then we'll both be okay. We both lived happy lives, even though they were different. However, you had better be sure about it, because if I'm right and you're wrong, then you will be in serious trouble. The biggest problem for the blind man that Jesus spoke to was that his condition was incurable. Nothing in this world could give him his sight. People are still born without sight, and it is still in many cases incurable. It took God's Son to remove that man's blindness. It took a miracle. The same applies to people in the world today. It is only the miracle of the new birth in Christ that can cure their blindness. Only Jesus can give them sight. Only he can bring him out of darkness into his glorious light. There is nothing we can do or say that will enable us to regain our sight. All we can do is believe and trust in the Lord Jesus and what he did for us on Calvary. As the old hymn says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace." Salvation is a gift from God. We can't earn it. It is God's free gift to us through his grace. not of works, lest any man should boast. But we just have to ask. When we become Christians, not only do we come from darkness into his holy light, but God's light is reflected in us and should shine out through us. We should be a reflection of what God is. We are, as it were, the moon and stars to his sun. The moon and stars on themselves have no light. The light we get from the moon and the stars is a reflection from the sun. As Christians, we are expected to reflect the light that God has given us so that they see God living in us and through us. The scripture tells, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Part of our Christian duty is to tell others of God's grace. If we see someone in any kind of trouble, we automatically try to help them. The same should apply to those we know are in need of salvation. We remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. While those who are still in darkness are heading in the same direction as the rich man, and it may be our light that is needed to start them in the right direction, so that they too may be partakers of the salvation that God offers to all who believe. Now, the sun brings light to our natural day, but our day doesn't start with a burst of sunshine. The sun rises slowly, and the day gradually gets lighter with each passing minute. There is nothing worse than someone switching on the light when you're asleep in the dark. You want to duck under the blankets to get away from the light. We automatically say, "Put that light out." The same thing applies when we approach others to tell them about the things of God. We have to be careful to do it in a way that doesn't send them rushing away from us, ducking under the blanket. It is important that we take the opportunities that are given us rather than continually be trying to make opportunities. The important thing is not to tell them what they are doing wrong, but to tell them about the gift that God has for them through his Son. A sure way to turn people off listening to you is to list the things you think they're doing wrong. You'll remember that when the Apostle Paul was in Athens, he saw all the idols to the various gods on Mars Hill, and there was one to the unknown God. Paul didn't say a word about the false gods. He didn't ridicule them or chastise them for believing in their idols. He told them about the unknown God, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who sent his own Son into the world to die in their place, if they would only believe and accept him as their Savior. Arguing with people of other religions and beliefs doesn't really help them or us. The important thing is to tell them about the Lord Jesus, because it's only through believing on him that their lives can be changed. Many years ago, I was talking to an elderly friend about the Jehovah's Witnesses coming to our doors. And I would tell them that I was not interested, close the door, and they would go away. He said he didn't do that. He would tell them that he would give them 10 minutes to tell him what they believed, if they would give him 10 minutes to listen what he believed. He didn't argue with them about their beliefs. Like Paul, he took the opportunity to tell them about Jesus, what Jesus has done for him. He was turning what I saw as a nuisance into an opportunity. Not everybody can do what my friend did. I don't think I could. We're all different, and we're all being given different gifts. We need to remember that someone is in total darkness. The smallest light can sometimes show them the way home. We have a few plug-in lights at home which we leave on at night. If you switch them on the day, there's no appreciable extra light. But if you wake in the night, there's enough light to see where you're going so that you don't bump into things. The light in our lives may be small when we compare it to the saints we find in Scripture, but even the smallest light may be all that is needed to start someone in the right direction. When the lights went out in that tunnel at Hope Valley, a small torch would have been adequate to show us the way out. If we had turned the torch on when the main lights were on, it would have made no difference. But in total darkness, it would have been enough for our needs. Remember, as Christians, we are the light of the world, and God has seen fit in his wisdom to bring us that light, to bring that light to others. People see us and the lives we live, and from that they get their ideas of what it means to be a Christian. It is important, then, that we think carefully how we live our lives. We must be careful that we don't become a stumbling block to others. When we approach people who are when we approach people or are approached by others to talk about our faith, we should do it prayerfully and carefully. Remember then that everyone is different and one size doesn't fit all. May God give us all the wisdom and understanding to be a light to those in need of salvation, and he will see fit to use us to bring others to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen.